Okay, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Revelation chapter 3.
We've studied this particular subject a couple times, and but when people come to me and say, "How can I hear God? Do you really believe the people hear from God?" And they are saved people. They are people who attend church regularly. And I mean, obviously, I'm not going to give any names. But, you know, learning is a process that... You know, sometimes you hear something and you have to hear it 50 other times, and then all at once comes together and you see, yeah, this is what it means. And so I think what we're going to look at tonight really is a very, very important thing, essential, especially in our day and time. In Revelation chapter 3, we're looking at the last church age, Laodicea, and... In verse 19, the scripture says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with the Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." God says, pay attention. Hear something. It's important. And when people say, "I don't know if I really hear from God or not," it's important that they get the whole matter straightened out simply as a matter of priority. We need to have our priorities right. It is a blessing to hear from God, and you need to hear from God to use the talents and abilities and whatever resources he has given to you. It's important to be able to hear from God so that they are not wasted. I'll give you an example. Yesterday was a very interesting day. And so when it was time to sleep, I was ready. And started sleeping, and you know how you have unwinding dreams, different pieces and segments come together, and they don't make any sense. And then all of a sudden, all that stopped. And the Lord shows me a scripture. And I said, "That is really good. I really like that." And so then the Lord started adding to it, you know, like a tree with branches. And each branch would add on to it, and different scriptures. And so then I said, "That is really good." And the Lord said, "Preach it." I said, "Okay, I'll do that." A little time went by. And the Lord said, "Now, go and write it down." I said, "I'll remember that." The Lord said, "No, you won't. Get up and write it down." So I had to get up from my sleep, go to my desk, and write it down. By the way, it's not tonight's. But it is one of those things, I mean... All right, if God has given me a gift, he's also given you a gift, according to 1 Corinthians 12. And it's important for us to realize that those gifts don't operate very well unless you're listening on how to operate. You have to be able to hear from God. It is absolutely essential. And you know, with all the things that are going on in the world, you are going to have more and more choices that are going to be life-changing choices. And if you make the wrong choice, it could actually result in your premature death. Give you an example over in Jeremiah, book of Jeremiah, chapter 16. The Assyrians came down and attacked the children of Israel. Babylonians came, attacked the children of Israel. Different little kingdoms that were around, they attacked the children of Israel. And the Lord preserved them at certain times, and then others, God said, this is your judgment. And of course, we have the account of the Babylonians coming down, taking away people like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Many of the children of Israel, cream of the crop, were taken out of the country, brought up into Babylon. That there were always patriotic people who said, we must stand and defend Israel from her enemies. And you have the Maccabees who did that throughout history. Then you have a comparison to America. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, number one, what is worth preserving? What do we have left? Do we really have anything left? Do we have an education system? No. Do we have a judicial system? No. Do we have a political system? No. What do we have? And you have to ask yourself, you know, what should I do in the case that, let's say the little fat guy up in North Korea decides that he's going to bomb the United States, and Obama capitulates and says, hey, you can have it if you'll let us turn Muslim. You know, suppose that happened, what would you do? Would you be willing to be carried off into forced labor? Would you be willing to be carried off into one place or another? See, the children of Israel were hit by the very same situation. Should they stay and fight, or should they willingly just go? And Jeremiah, a prophet, they looked to Jeremiah for answers from God because they were too lazy to get it for themselves. And so they came to Jeremiah, and God said, all right, I'm going to instruct you as to what to tell the people. And he told the people, in some cases, you need to stay here. For others, you need to go up. You'll be slaves, but after so many years, you're going to come back. I just want you to see this and how important hearing from God had a result in how Jeremiah behaved and what he said to other people. Jeremiah chapter 15, let's take a look at verse 14. He says, I'll make them to pass with thine enemies into a land which thou knowest not, for a fire to be kindled in my anger, which shall burn upon you. O Lord, thou knowest. Remember me and visit me and revenge me of the persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found. I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual, my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and unto waters that fail? Now, you have to realize Jeremiah was coming to the people with the words of the Lord, and in that, he warned the people, some of you are going to stay, some of you are going to die here in battle, and some of you are going to be carried off. And Jeremiah was there saying, what about me? I've been faithful. Don't I get anything better than all the rest of the people? Well, as you read on, you see in verse 20, I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee, and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. It's interesting how the political candidates see the country. In some ways it's amusing, in other ways it's terrifying. Hillary Clinton said the other day, America doesn't need to be great again. America's always been great. We just need to fix a hole in America. And you hear others say America needs to be brought back to its greatness. Our ancestors had a wisdom that came from God. And one of them, and I forget offhand who it was, may have been Franklin, said that America is great because America is good. When America ceases to be good, America will no longer be great. And he's talking about a moral standard. Morals have been torn from this country. The Bible's been thrown out of school, thrown out of the courtroom, thrown out of any place that the government can get into. And what we find is that that statement from many, many years ago is coming to pass. America is no longer great because of its people. Legislatures cannot make America great. Never will be able to, never have been able to. God makes a country, lifts it up, brings it down according to the will of the people. If you find the people saying, hey, let's get back to God. Let's turn ourselves over to the Lord. Let's rebuke sin. Let's repent of the sin. Then you know that America can be great again. But if you find that people say, you know, I like that, America being great again. Do that for us, Congress. Do that for us, Senate. Do that for us, President. They won't be able to do that. It's the people, the hearts of the people, that have to be changed. And I don't see where that is being done, or even where there's an interest in people doing that. We have to get our priorities right. If you leave God out of any aspect of your life, that's going to come down in flames. That part of your life is going to fall apart. You can't compartmentalize God into certain areas and say, God, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. But over here, stay out of that. I'm used to doing it my way. Can't do that and expect to be blessed by the Lord. Over in Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul sorted things out in his mind and he labeled them into certain categories. He labeled some things as being profitable for God and other things not being profitable for God. Take for an example a television program. For one person, a particular television program may be enough that they can fall asleep while watching it. And they're not interested in the content. They just wanted something in front of them and something that would remove all the thoughts of the day. I can think of better things, but I can see where that might be profitable for somebody. But I can see somebody else who says, man, we have to watch this program. It's on at such and such a time. We can't miss this. And I can see it being totally unprofitable for the Lord because of the content. Now, each one of us, the Bible says, will have to give an account of ourselves before God. That includes our TV watching. That includes our movie watching. That includes anything that we do. And you've got to ask yourself, how do I measure up? Here's what Paul said, Philippians 3:8.
Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Two categories. The things that belong to the Lord, things that he's committed to God, and everything else. Two distinct categories. And only one of them was really beneficial. And we know which one that is, amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I had a conversation yesterday with a young lady at a reception desk. And she was complaining, just out loud. She says, I don't have time to do half of the things I want to do. Time's running out. It's almost the end of the day. And all this and that. And oh, we never have time to do anything. And what's wrong with me that everything just seems to flee on by and I never have a chance to get things accomplished in my life? I said, I want you to think about something. I enjoy talking with old-timers. Not old-timers, old-timers. And a lot of them, when they're really old, can remember the Depression. And you can learn an awful lot from some of these old-timers. I have yet to hear any of them, in or out of nursing homes, say, oh, where did all the time go? There aren't enough hours in the day. I just don't have time to do this, don't have time to do that. I'm not accomplishing anything. I said, I listen to these people. Now, I want you to pay attention, I'm telling her. When they were growing up, families were usually pretty big. Mom had a bunch of kids. She had to feed them all, dress them all, clothe them all. They had clothing that you didn't go down to Walmart and buy more clothing every time something got a hole in it. They had these darning things that they would sew and patch. And they do that for all the kids. And you'd see kids in their one-room school. Some of them had remnants, little white things around the bottom of their jeans where it scraped against the bottom because some other family member wore them and they were hand-me-downs and they just let down the cuffs for the next kid or took them up depending on the size of the kid. And these same mothers, they had to feed them. And bless their hearts, they didn't have any time-saving microwave ovens. They had to cook everything from scratch. They couldn't go down to Walmart or Publix or Kroger and get a bag of something as simple as lettuce, a salad. But when they bought something, they had to make it themselves. They had to wash it. Didn't come pre-washed. They had to make sure all the sand and all the bugs were off from it, and they'd cut it up. Then they had to make their own salad dressing from scratch. Whatever they did took hours and hours every day. And a lot of these people years ago had very strong faith.
And years ago, and I said to her, you probably can't remember this time at all, churches used to hold revival meetings 2, 3, and 4 weeks long. And people came every single night. Every single night. I said, now, how do you think a woman in that situation, all those kids, no microwave oven, no time-consuming, no time-saving devices, how were they able to do this? Go to church every night and still have time to write diaries. How did they do it? And she was there with her mouth open and said, you know, I know what you're saying is right because my grandmother is 90-some years old and she told me the same thing. She says, tell me, what is it? And I said, I'll tell you what, you think on it. And when I come back, then we'll discuss it. But you know, it's interesting how real believers can get so absorbed with things today, all the time-consuming devices that we have. And we have less time now than what our great-grandparents did. Why? They had a priority. They had a priority. Priority was number one, God. Now, I know you've heard this. You won't hear it anymore because the ACLU is removing the names out. And I'm sure some of you have heard about that. But, you know, there's God and Country Day. And there used to be a priority. God first, family second, country third. And they used to stand by that. It was a matter of priorities. God always came first. Then you take care of your family. You raise your family. You spend time with them. You teach them what is right. But it seems that all of that now is not politically correct. We're supposed to live for the state. Everything we do is supposed to benefit the state. And our forefathers are rolling over in their graves if they could, because they broke away from a place that wanted them to work for the state. They believed that the state was to work for the people. My, how times have changed. But you see, it's a matter of priorities. Now we have first place, the country. And that used to be in last place. For the Christian, there's no discussion. For the Christian, God's always supposed to be first. And unless we have our priorities right, we're not going to hear from the Lord. And so many people have taken on so much. They say, well, it's such a temptation out there. You know, you have to go this place, you have to go that place. It's amazing to me. People will sit for hours at a time, and I know this, I've seen them do it, reading over sales papers that they either buy at a store or come through the mail, and they're looking and they're clipping and they're doing all sorts of things, which is fine if it's going to save them money. But then they'll travel round trip 40 miles, 50 miles to save 10 cents on a loaf of bread. It doesn't make any sense. And then they wonder where the time went. We're spending so much of our time traveling. Somebody asked me last week, well, what did kids do? They have to go from one place to another. They went outside and they played. They went outside and they played. Now, I know the government tells us that that doesn't make them socialized. I mean, they throw the same accusation against homeschool kids. The child isn't socialized. Well, if going to public school socializes people, look at the number of psychopaths that has turned out to be mass murderers. They didn't have that back in those days. I'm by no means, don't get me wrong, I'm by no means am I saying that years ago everything was perfect, because it wasn't. But at least God wasn't angry with the country. People made mistakes, but God wasn't bringing his wrath down on the country, as he will for America. And you can already see the shadow of the Lord coming, and know that it is going to come and bring judgment on this country. Because we had our priorities mixed up. We don't hear from God. We're too busy. We're just too busy. The Bible says God doesn't put any temptation on us but what we're able to bear. God is able to help us to overcome by his power. But nobody's asking for it. Nobody's saying, Lord, how can I get out of this? How can I save hours per day? What can I do? I mean, look at these people who lived years ago and still had time on their hands. I mean, they sat on a front porch and played checkers. They sat in a rocking chair and read their Bibles at night. I mean, here are people who didn't even have washing machines. Everything had to be done by hand. How many of you have seen those old crank washing machines? We had some people up in Georgia that still use those things. Yeah. And it took a long time to do the clothes. You would think now, you open a door, you throw the clothes in, push a couple buttons, walk away, do whatever you want to do. Multitasking. A lot of people are proud of their multitasking, but you know what? They're worse off than our ancestors. It's because they don't put God first. Everything isn't held up into the light. God, what do you think of this? What should I do about this? Should I go here? What should I do? How about this? How about that? They don't even bother to ask. They just do what they say. Well, this is expected of me. By whom? By whom? What is expected of us? It's laid out in Scripture. And God gave it. But for some reason, people say, I don't hear from God. Well, there's a good reason some people don't hear from God. They've tuned him out. Things they picked up are so distracting that they cannot hear. Talk with somebody this week. Walked into their house and said to them, we need to sit down and talk about something. And they just looked, gave this blank stare. I said, we need to talk. And they just gave this blank stare and walked on off and getting, you know, some refreshments. And then I noticed they had earphones on. They were distracted. They were distracted. There are a few words that crop up in the Psalms, and David brings this out very clearly about let all the earth keep silence before him. You know, there's a right time and a wrong time for even Christian music. There's a right time and wrong time to be listening to something else. How much time do we really spend listening to the Lord? If you study the prophets, and this I find tremendously interesting. When God spoke to the prophets, it wasn't on their terms. God didn't say, can we make an appointment? Anything at your convenience, Elijah. Whenever you get around to it, if you got some free time, yeah, let's talk. Didn't happen that way, did it? God said, Elijah, eat the food, climb the mountain. I want to talk to you now. And he had to go. And it wasn't just Elijah, it was every prophet around. Noah didn't sit down one day and say, God, we need to make an appointment because, you know, there's so many bad things happening on the earth, and I know you're disappointed in mankind, and I know things are going on that you're upset with. We need to talk about this and find out if there's anything you want me to do. But I'm really booked up the next couple days, but I'll take about an hour off a little bit. No, it didn't happen like that, did it? When God spoke to any of these people, they responded immediately. Why? Because they were always listening. They were always listening. And if you recall, one of the very essential parts of the Christian life is praying without ceasing. Throughout your entire day, praying without ceasing. That isn't just you doing the talking, it's you doing the listening. Prayer is not biblical prayer without two-way communication. And most people are satisfied to do all the talking at a certain time every night, and they say, okay, God, I'm done. And then they go to bed. That isn't biblical praying. It's being sensitive. It is being keyed in on the fact He is your Father. He cares about every part of your life. Just imagine the most loving human father you could ever come across. If you had a human father that loved you more than anyone you've ever met, aren't they going to have an interest in when you're playing, when you're working, when you're eating, when you're shopping, when you're doing whatever? Aren't they going to be concerned about every area of your life, and they're going to have input? They're going to have care. They're going to have wisdom and knowledge to help you in every one of those areas. Now, we have somebody who is greater than any human father. And he has the ability to watch every one of his children all the time. And we have the ability to listen. But that's where the problem comes in. Why isn't it happening to some people? Now, grant you, that isn't the case with everybody. Excuse me. But it certainly is a very difficult threshold to go over for a lot of Christians today, because they are out of priorities with God. They don't have the right priorities. Secondly, they haven't squashed the distractions. Instead, they pay more attention to the distractions than they do to God. So what happens? How many of you remember Scripture saying that Satan is a thief? Remember that? Not only a liar, but he's a thief. What's one of the most valuable things that you possess? He can't get the Holy Spirit. Can't get your salvation. Close. He can get your testimony. But what is it that when it's gone, you can never get it back again? Time. Time. Once it's gone, it's gone. You'll never be able to get it back. Satan has stolen so much time from God's people. And that's why so many of them go around saying, oh my, I don't have time to do this. I don't have time to do that. Oh, where does all the time go? There aren't enough hours in the day. Yes, there are. Do you really believe that God made a mistake when he made 24 hours in a day? God doesn't make mistakes. He gave you enough time. Where does your time go then? So much of it is stolen, and we've allowed it to be stolen by distractions, by the wrong interests, by the lack of priorities that God wants us to have. We allow it to be stolen. And when we don't hear from God, it isn't because he isn't calling, because he does. We don't hear from God most of the time because we're thinking on something else. I want to share a scripture with you over in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. And the way that Jesus starts us off really highlights what we're talking about tonight. Matthew 13, verse 9, it says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, if a person has ears, they can hear. How good are your spiritual ears? Do you think a good father is going to watch his child play in the street with speeding cars coming up and down that street and just sit back and say, ho-hum, they're stupid? What's a good father going to do? Get out of that street! Now! And the kid comes quick as he can onto the sidewalk. No good father is going to allow their children to get into trouble without warning them. So how important is it for us to be listening? I mean, this is what Jesus said here. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. How did they get that information? From him. They listened. They listened. It's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Now there's a principle here. If you have good hearing from heaven, and you start listening, what does that principle tell you? You're going to hear even more. You're going to hear even more. Whosoever hath, to him it shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. So people who don't want to hear, people who are distracted willingly, people who have their priorities out of sync with the Word of God, and they know it, and say, ho-hum, it's all under the blood. You know, everybody makes mistakes, and I can't hear God. I guess I'm one of those children that can't hear him. No. God will make known his voice. He makes sure that you can hear. The only way that a person can say, I didn't hear, is because they stopped up their ears. They paid attention to something else, turned it up louder and louder. A woman years ago told me she went into her daughter. Daughter was in the bedroom. They had to talk about drugs. And She calls her by name, says, listen, I got to talk to you about what's going on. I know what you've been doing. And the daughter turns the volume up on the music. And pretty soon it was at the absolute maximum. They could have heard it in houses around. Just so she could not hear her mother. You know, there are a lot of things in our lives that need to come unplugged. Because if we can't hear the Word of God, and we're not listening to Him come to us and draw us closer and give us wisdom and give us guidance in our future, if we can't hear that, it's not because He isn't speaking, but it's because of something we're doing. And we need to be concerned about that, greatly concerned. And I want to encourage you tonight to honestly evaluate your relationship with the Lord and ask yourself, am I really hearing from the Lord even when I don't like what He says? Am I really hearing from God who is guiding me and directing me and then just ignoring it? Or do we hear from the Lord and say, ah, what a treasure to be able to hear from the Creator of the universe, who has taken time, at His time, not mine, to speak to me. What a treasure that is. Let's bow in a word of prayer, shall we? Lord is able to speak to us with encouraging words and with joy, with comfort, with conviction sometimes, with all sorts of things. But whatever God wants to speak to us, whatever He wants to talk about, we need to listen to it. Because if God says it, it's important. God just doesn't talk to hear Himself talk. He talks with a purpose. And He wants to talk to every one of us. We're His children. What father would not care about his children enough to tell them if they're going in the wrong direction? And enough to warn them of dangers up ahead. Enough to prepare them spiritually for battles that may come up. What father, loving father, would remain silent? Our Father is the most loving Father you'd ever find. There is none other. He's the one who sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. And we need to hear Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You that in Your Word, so many times, You use words like, hear me and hearken. What words that tell us You want us to listen. Father, we know that we can listen from Your Word, but we also know that when we're saved, You've given us Your Holy Spirit and He speaks to us as well. Father, I pray that we might be in obedience and listen and look forward to You speaking to us. Father, thank You for caring. Thank You for loving us who don't deserve Your love. We pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would minister to us today. Turn our lives away from the loss of so much time that we've just handed over to Satan. Lord, help us to listen. Spend the time listening with expectation every day that You might guide us and direct us to be obedient to You. And Lord, we just thank You for each one that's here tonight, for each one that faces difficulties in their lives where they need You. But Father, guide them, give them Your input as to what You want done in every case. Father, we'll give You the praise for what You'll do. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, a couple of notes before you leave. Katie's uncle is having his operation tomorrow. Joe is out sick with the flu.